This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. This episode of Plans, Hope, and a Future is sponsored by Jenny Becknell. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Plans, Hope, and a Future. How are you? I hope this podcast finds you well. And if your week is not going good, then I hope this podcast makes it just a little bit better. It is January 14th, and I have attempted to record this episode four different times, and each time there was an interruption, and so it just wasn't meant to be. I hope your 2026 is going well. My 2026 is going well. One of the exercises that I tend to do each year is I will have a word or a phrase for the year that I usually get in December, and I will get a scripture that will go with it. And this past year, I was challenged by Tara Lee Cobble, who does the Bible Recap podcast, to associate a name of God with that particular phrase. So last year, my phrase was audacious faith. And when I got that in December of 2024, I was a little intimidated by that because I thought, man, audacious faith, that is really big. That feels really big. I can't imagine what the year is going to bring me, but okay. And the scripture that was associated with it was Ephesians 3:20, which says, "He is able to do immeasurably more than we ever hope or imagine." And I love that verse so much because when I hear it, I think about the fact that, wow, now I have a really big imagination as a writer, as a fiction writer. I can create whole worlds, so my imagination is really big. And so to hear a scripture that says he can do more than we ever hoped or imagined, that is super encouraging to me. So that was the verse that went with my audacious faith. The name of God that got associated with that is Adonai Meshev, and that is found in Psalms 126:4, and it means the God who restores. Another interpretation of that name is the God who answers. So I went into 2026 thinking, okay, Lord, I have this phrase, audacious faith. I have the scripture. God is able to do immeasurably more than I ever hoped or imagined. And I had Adonai Meshev as the name that I prayed through the year. So as I went through last year, I think I had mentioned this in my last podcast, it was a challenging year for me. I had lots and lots of moments to look at my audacious faith and what was I trusting God for? What was I going to believe him for in the midst of some really hard circumstances? And so I really leaned into that. And as I got to the end of this year, or actually at the end of 2025, I thought, I'm really glad that year is over. That was super hard. And okay, God, I'm ready for my reset. The beautiful thing about a new year is it's kind of like that, you know, reset. You've left one season one year and you're going into a new fresh year. And there's so many instances in the Bible where things basically get reset. They get renewed. A season ends, you go into another season. A year ends, you go into another year. You know, the Bible talks about how his promises are new every morning. So, you know, there's day and there's night, and then it's a new day. And so there's so many instances of reset. So I was looking at, all right, God, and praying, all right, God, I'm going into 2026. I am really excited about what you want to do in this year. And what word do you really want me to lean into? And I got silence. And I was so shocked by that because God is faithful in answering me with a focus for the year. I've done this for a good 15 years. So I didn't know what to make of that. And this week, as I was praying, I felt like God whispered to my spirit that I needed to just really set in the summary of 2025 and to look at the phrase that he gave me of audacious faith and that he is Adonai Meshev and that he's able to do incredibly more than I can ever hope or imagined, and to really journal that out and make a memorial of where God answered, where he carried me, and where I had faith to believe in those moments that he had me, and I leaned into that faith. So that's what I've started to do this week. And so I think it's going to be a really great exercise as I've started it. I've already looked at those moments of, yeah, I really believed there, or boy, I was really pushed there, and I never gave up on God. I'm not going to say I did not get discouraged, because I did, but my faith and my relationship with him is deep enough that I can go through some really like mind-scrambling things and still run back to God, because he really is the source of life and strength and restoration and all the things that makes us whole again. So just really grateful for God. I have started my 2026 in a really great way, a good, strong way. Everywhere else, I have went back to my D group, which, if I've never shared what D group is on the podcast, D group stands for discipleship group, and it is actually part of the Bible recap, which is done by Tara Lee Cobble. I think I've already mentioned her once, so now, hey, it's a second shout out to Tara Lee Cobble. But it's a discipleship group, and we meet once a week, and we are committed to memorizing scripture, reading scripture, discussing that, confessing of sin, a community of support and prayer. It's just a wonderful community. And with my job change in 2025, I had to take a break from that because it met in the morning, and I was going from part-time to full-time, and there was just a lot of transition that were happening for me, so I had to just step out of it and take a break. So I missed a little bit of the study that happened during that time. I did get the books for the study that they did while I was gone, so I'm going to try to catch up on that. But we've started into Philippians, and it has just started off so beautifully. Really grateful for the group of women that I meet with. They are beautiful human beings, and they are the prime example as to why we need community. We were never meant to live life alone. We were meant to live it with other people to help support us, pray for us, hear us when we need to repent, to support us when we're going through something hard. I mean, community is everything. So I'm just really grateful for the group of women. Shout out to my D group. If you're listening, I love you, ladies. And I'm just excited for what's going to be revealed through God's word. The beautiful thing about reading the Bible is it is a powerful thing. It says that God's word is living, it's breathing, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It is good for reproof and teaching, and it is the living word of the Lord, and reading it just moves mountains in your spirit, in your life. And it's an amazing thing. And so I just challenge you, if you've not taken it upon yourself to really get into reading God's word every day, try to make, even if it's just 5 minutes a day of reading God's word, it might just be one chapter a day. And like, read it slow enough that it should like make you think. You should consider, be curious about it. Like, ask questions about what you read. Try to get the context for what you read. And if you feel really ambitious, there are plenty of commentaries out there. And commentaries are wonderful things to help guide you through the reading of the word. Like, other people that have read it that are much more smarter than I am have written what they think that particular chapter is trying to say, or whatever book of the Bible is trying to say. And it can just strengthen your understanding of scripture and make it something just alive to you. So, but if you are just starting to dip your toe into reading scripture, I would say start with a chapter a day. Just commit to it. You don't have to be so ambitious to try to read the whole Bible in a year, but at least commit to reading scripture. This time of year, there are a million resolutions that float around out there, like, I'm going to get in better health. I'm going to, you know, quit that bad habit. I'm going to get more sleep. But I challenge you to make reading the Word of God, to be one of your resolutions. And don't make it such a heavy lift that you get to, we're actually already past quitting day on resolutions for the year. That is a thing. Look that up if you're curious about it. But don't make it such a heavy lift that you can't continue on that practice of reading God's word. And I am telling you, you will not be sorry. Scripture is such a wonderful thing, and it should make you think. It should make you curious. It will teach you more about who God is and who Jesus is than anyone else could ever tell you. So I'd love to hear from you if you have started doing that and you get so far into it and you want to let me know how it's going. I would love to hear from you. My email address is always in the show notes. Send me an email and tell me how things are going with that. And if you have any questions or you're curious about D group or a good study or anything along those lines, I will gladly point you in the right direction. I'm not a Bible scholar, so if you're looking for like those very cerebral answers, I'm probably not your girl, but I will get you to some good resources to help you with that. So just my challenge, my little soapbox moment. I am grateful that I am back into Bible study. And actually for this year, not only am I doing D group, but I actually have committed to trying to read the Bible in a year. So I am doing a chronological plan. I have been a Christian a long time and I do read the Bible every day, but I haven't committed to trying to read the full Bible in a year. Well, actually, that's not true. I didn't mean to be not sharing the truth on that, but just remembered that I had tried a few times before to read the Bible in a year and life got crazy, or I didn't figure out how to put it in my routine, or just different things, and I ended up giving that up. But this year, I'm trying to stick with that. So I'm reading a nice chronological plan, and it's been very interesting. Currently, we're in Job in reading the Bible in a year, since it is chronological. And what that just means is you read the books in the Bible in the time frame in which it occurred. So sometimes you will jump ahead to a book that doesn't feel like you should be that far into the Bible, like to go from Genesis to Job felt really weird. But just in the sense of the time frame, it belonged. But Job is a hard book. It's a really, really hard book. And in reading this, I know that, you know, it starts off really hard. There are some friends of Job that don't necessarily give him really great advice or great support. Job feels like he has to defend himself. It kind of leans into this whole notion of if you are right by God, everything will just fall into place and be perfect, and God will greatly bless you. That is not necessarily like a promise that you have in that. Does God bless you? Yes, he does. Will God bless you? Yes. Will he work your circumstances out for his good? Absolutely. Or for your good, I should say, in his good. But absolutely. But does that mean you're never going to face adversity, that you're never going to have issues, that you're never going to have problems? That is no. So in Job, there is that wrestle back and forth between Job. His friends were telling him he must be in sin, or he must have done something wrong to get this adversity that was facing him. And you know, if you read the beginning of Job, that it was not so, that it was a challenge from Satan to God, that Job was only following him because he had blessed him. And so it was just proof in the pudding. God knew what he was doing to say, you know what, Satan, you can get out of my presence, but before you do, let me just show you how good Job is and how good our relationship is. Because, I mean, it wasn't going to be a surprise to God what Job was going to do one way or the other, because he knows everything, right? And nothing in that whole book was a surprise to God. So it just reminds me of in our time, how there are lots and lots of prosperity gospel messages that are out there, that if you just follow God and live the right way, that you will always be blessed. You should always expect to be rich. You should always expect to be healthy. And that is not the case. Like, there's just adversity that we face day in and day out. And our promise is that God will never leave us, that He will always be with us, He will always walk it through it, and that He will work out all things together for our good. And that is Romans 8:28. If you don't know your scripture and you want to look that up, it says that He will work all things together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. So therefore, if I'm a believer, I should expect that God will work out all things for my good. So I'm going in some funny circles tonight related to that. I have a message here that I had shared with my work community, and I gave it around Christmas, and it was the intent of my podcast tonight, but I felt like God wanted me to go in a different direction. And so I will try to actually deliver this in another episode. It was a message that I shared called The God Who Comes Close, and it was related to Emmanuel. And it was a great reminder in the Christmas season that while the world celebrates Christmas and all of its presents and pageantry and the celebration of family and, you know, everything's great and jolly and ho, 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 that the real message of Christmas is that God came close. He came in the form of a baby, in the form of Jesus, and He was called Emmanuel, God with us. So there was this whole thing related to that, and I will share it later, because even though it's a Christmas type of message, I think it's very valid and true what it says about understanding that God has come close to us. He has now made us His dwelling place. He is with us every moment of every day. We are never without Him. We are never alone. He never leaves us. And it's understanding in some really challenging moments of just how close He is. So, like I said, I will try to share that next episode or an episode upcoming, because it isn't applicable just to Christmas. It was just kind of a timely message, if you will. Before I wrap up this episode, I wanted to share with you that I am leading another season of, or another session, I should say, not season, another session of CST, which stands for Childhood Sexual Trauma. It is an introductory group to those who are just starting to dip their toe into exploring what it means to heal from the ravages of sexual abuse, the trauma of sexual abuse. And you can come to this group if you have experienced it personally, or if you're a family member or a friend of someone who's experienced it. But that new group is going to be starting January 20th, and it is fully online. So if you would like to join that, if you know someone who would like to join that, I will put the link in the show notes, and I would love for you to join me. This is a group where I know we've spoken about it multiple times on this podcast, but for those of you who have never heard any of the earlier episodes, I just want to share that CST is a safe place, like I said, for those of you who are just starting to dip your toe into trying to understand what happened as a result of sexual abuse. It has experts that come in each week, and they each cover a different topic as it relates to recovery. And they help us as listeners understand like different things from like EMDR and that type of therapy. It will cover just some of the personal barriers to healing. It will delve into how trauma informs on addiction and just different other things. So the expert will come in and speak. You, as a participant, never have to share your name or your story. You don't even have to have your name on your Zoom account. You can just put anonymous if you want to. And you just come in and receive that information. You listen to what they say. And you will also hear someone share their story of recovery, of how they came through the healing from sexual abuse. So that just kind of helps you give context to like, what does healing mean for me? What can it mean for me? Is my trauma responses normal? The fact that I am like having an eating disorder? Is that, could that be a result of any type of trauma I've experienced? All kinds of things like that. It just, it normalizes to the degree of your responses as being an average response. It normalizes those responses, and it can make you feel a little less alone in something that has just a notorious reputation for making you feel like you are alone. So I would say please join if you're just even remotely curious about that. The church that puts this on is Crossroads Church here in Cincinnati, and you do not have to be a member of Crossroads Church. They will ask you to set up a profile just so you can sign up for the group, but that's it. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to pay tithes there. You don't even have to be a regular church attender of any kind. It can just be an average person that maybe don't even know Jesus at this point. That's okay. That's okay. Everyone is welcome to come. And so, yeah, please feel free to join up for that particular session. All right. Well, that is everything I cared to cover tonight. And I am so appreciative of all of you and the fact that you listen to my podcast. It has felt a little aimless in some ways till I try to get my bearings with the podcast. Just bought some new equipment, got some new commitment in my head and in my time to try to focus more on this again. And I feel super called into speaking and teaching. And so I really want to make the podcast more of that. But I hope you really got something out of tonight. I really enjoy talking to you guys. And I will talk to you next episode. And special shout out and thank you to Jenny Becknell, who is my podcast sponsor, whom I love dearly. All right. Thanks, folks. Until next time. You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2025 by Parable Road, LLC.